May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Please be seated. For the past few weeks, we've been hearing a series of teachings and parables. We've heard about the problem of healing someone on the Sabbath. We've heard about inviting poor people to our table rather than worrying about how close to the host we get to sit. We've heard about how we need to turn our back even on familial relationships and turn towards God. We've heard about lost coins and lost sheep. We've heard about the shrewd but dishonest manager. We've heard now today about a poor beggar at the rich man's gate getting rewarded and the rich man having an unpleasant surprise at the other side of eternity. A whole laundry list of teachings. What's the common thread? It's a world turned upside down. That's the thing about Jesus' teachings. He seemingly never goes to the expected place in his teachings. He takes the conventional wisdom, even the conventional religious wisdom of the day, and upends it. Not surprisingly, that makes people uncomfortable because we like to think we know how things work and what being a good and righteous person looks like. I'm no exception, and I've just had a week of uncomfortableness. My world was turned upside down because I was called to jury duty. Now, I know that it is our civic duty to do this. And I know that I'm not special, and I shouldn't get a bye on doing it. I know all that, but my schedule is horrific, and there's an endless stream of work in my inbox and my voicemail, and I can barely keep up as it is. I don't need this right now. So, I followed a proven strategy. I wore my collar to the courthouse in hopes that it would give me a pass. After all, wouldn't the attorneys believe that I would be too bound by my religious beliefs to be a good juror? Wouldn't one side think that I would be an angel of mercy, and the other think that I would be an avenging angel? So either of them might say, strike her from the jury. Well, you know how the saying goes. You make plans, and God laughs. The one trial that was starting last Monday was a civil trial. They needed 9 jurors. There were almost 50 of us there. Piece of cake, I thought. I'm out of here. They called 17 people out of those 50 for initial screening. Not me. Sweet. I'm off the hook. The lawyers quizzed the people in that initial 17, and several were relieved of duty. I thought. They called a couple of other people to be asked questions. Not me. Thank goodness, I thought. That was close. We broke for lunch with orders to come back at 1:30. And when we reconvened, there was a problem. One of the pool of jurors had not returned from lunch. After a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, they went to their list to call one more name. Mine. Dang it. So the short version of that long story is I'm on a jury. I've been on the jury all week. I can't talk about the case, but I can talk, I think, about worlds turned upside down. My world, where my schedule was blown to smithereens. The world of the defendant, who, it goes without saying, had to defend himself. The world of the plaintiff, who filed this case because the plaintiff's world had been turned upside down, and the plaintiff thought the defendant was responsible. The world of battalions of lawyers, and I do mean battalions, who have to do this for a living, and despite all their carefully constructed strategies and arguments, could not predict what some of the answers were going to be to their questions from the witness stand. And two, the world of my fellow jurors, some of whom were, like me, missing work, one of whom was 7 months pregnant. The good news about that is we had more biology breaks than I think is normal. All those jurors had other places to be and other things to do, and even perhaps the world of the judge was turned upside down, whose docket of cases was interrupted by what was clearly going to be a long case. After a full week of testimony, we will start our deliberations on Monday. In the times when his administration of this case interfered with emergent needs on other cases on his docket. But even in worlds turned upside down, there is grace, perhaps especially in worlds turned upside down. I've met some wonderful people, particularly my fellow jurors, who are a motley crew. But we laugh and we share our stories freely in that stuffy little jury room. There is no Diet Coke. I have to drink Diet Pepsi. My world is ended. I've heard moments of tragedy, but also moments of deep caring and love in that room and from the witness stand. I've seen experts made to look like fools and ordinary folks be voices of wisdom. Now, you turn a rock upside down and you might not like what you see. But if you turn the world upside down, you may see things that surprise you more positively. This is what Jesus has been talking about these past few weeks. If you're stuck in one view of the way that things are supposed to be, whether it's that the poor get a lousy deal because their parents were sinful, or that the conniving manager gets a buy for his cleverness, I will remind you of one line in last week's gospel that says, "The children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light." That's us, right? We're supposed to be less shrewd, not more. If you're stuck in one way, one view of the way that things are supposed to be, you aren't looking at the whole picture. You are missing things. Jesus turns the world upside down so that we can see the whole of God's love for us, the whole of the dark and the light of the world. We're intended to look for the places where we can be bringers of the light by seeing things differently. We are not intended to simply move through the right-side-up world like zombies, following rules without thinking. Here's the thing. It's easier to keep the world right-side-up where we think we know what we're supposed to do. It's easier to follow a recipe or a rule book. But if the only recipe we receive that truly matters is add love, it requires that we look in all aspects of the world to see where we're supposed to add it. If we turn the world upside down, we may see all sorts of places we're behaving differently from what our right side up world means. Makes us into light bringers, love bringers. And those who bring us love may be the ones we least expect. It is, after all, upside down world. I don't know what our jury will decide on this case we've been hearing all week. I don't know what the impact of our decision will be on all who are involved. But I do know this. It turned my world upside down, and I saw things that I didn't expect to see. I felt God's love in our work and in my personal reflections on what I heard and saw. There was a moment here or there when I may have been a symbol of God's love. I hope I did that as God would want. As disorienting and disturbing as being an upside-down world this week has been, I've learned something of what Jesus asks of us. Look and really see. Listen and really hear. Don't simply follow rules blindly. Questions aren't bad things. They shine light. Look for the love. Look for the light. And trust that you will know through God's Holy Spirit what you are to do. Both sides of the world, right side up and upside down, need it. Both sides of the world need you. Amen.